God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be to you, my brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Or as the gospel tells us, truly, truly, or amen and amen. So let's say amen and amen. Amen and amen. Well, let me tell you, we have a two-part sermon today, and the first part involves an object lesson, and I didn't ask if I could do an object lesson or a children's message, so I'm just going to do a hybrid with this, and I'm going to ask one of our smaller students or one of our students to come forward just to help me out. So if I could have one of our students come up, one of our children come up that likes to come on up. Love it. And while she's making her way up, I'm Pastor Frick. I'm from Salem Lutheran Church and School in Orange County. What's your name?
Esther.
Esther, can you come stand right here? Now, Esther, you're up here, and do you know what this is?
A life vest.
This is a life vest. Have you ever put a life vest on?
Yes.
You have? Okay, now the reason why I brought you up here, this says adult universal, that it's supposed to fit me, but it's not going to, in a good way. Do you want to put this on?
Okay.
You know exactly how to put that on. And then what do? You buckle that? Yeah, I tried to put that on last night and the buckles did not fit me. So obviously I've got a bunch of girth up here. But Esther, can you step over here so everyone over here can see you? And then if you want to do the same on the other side, does it look like she's wearing this properly? Yes. Now, why would Esther be wearing this? Maybe not in church, but where is a place that she would wear it? Anybody want to say? The lake. Absolutely. And Esther, would you wear one of those out on the lake? Yes. Why would you wear that out on the lake? So you don't go under the water, that it keeps you afloat, that it keeps your head above water, correct? Yeah, it saves you if you fall into the lake, and it will keep your head above water. And so that's why they call it a lifesaver, as you know. Great job, Esther. Thank you very, very much. Do you want to take that life vest off, or do you want to wear it the rest of the service? You'll take it off. Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Esther. I appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. At our church back home, we would give Esther a round of applause. And so I don't know if you do that here. So thank you, Esther. And I'm going to place this right over here on our baptismal font to remind us that in faith, God is our life saver that holds us up even when we feel like we might be drowning at times in life. With the chaos and the concerns that life throws at us, we look for a life saver as we go underwater. And Christ is our life saver. And in faith, we cling to Him. But it's not what we do. We might be able to steer around, but it's God who is ultimately holding us up. Now, that was the first part of the message. The second part is this. Years ago, and still even now, DCEs, Directors of Christian Education, were taught not only how to play games, but also how to lead students and children in growing in faith, and adults as well. And one of the games that is always in the back pocket of a director of Christian education is a game called Three Truths and a Trick. Or in old days, they called it Three Truths and a Lie. But we're in church, so we'll call it Three Truths and a Trick. And so have you ever heard that? Anyone? Some of you have. Megan, I know that you have. And so we're going to play that right now. And the idea is that the person shares three truths and one trick, and they can be in any order. And so I'm going to share four things about me, and you tell me which one you think is the trick. Are you ready for that? Yeah, okay, I see that. Here are the four things I'm going to share. One, I learned to water ski out on the Colorado River. Okay, that's the first one. The second one is, this is my first time I've ever been up to Big Bear. The third one is, I have never jumped off the boulders at Boulder Bay. And the fourth one is, I'm a very formal pastor who wears robes and pants all the time. All right? Now, which one of those do you think is a trick? They're all tricks. They are. And the gospel reading for today tells us things in the world that try to trick us, but we come back to God's word to be reminded of God's truth. All four of those items were tricks. And so I played a fifth trick on all of you. You'll never have me back again, I'm sure. But going through those tricks, no, actually, I learned to water ski up here in Big Bear on Memorial Day weekend when I was in junior high. Actually, I was in middle school. And we had gone skiing up at Snow Summit on Saturday and then went water skiing on Sunday. I came out of the water with cuts all over me because the water was so cold. It was miserable. And so you wanted to stay out of the water and you held on to your life vest, your lifesaver, because it was so cold. So I grew up and learned how to ski up here at Big Bear. Second one, what was the second one? This is my first time? No, our family's owned a cabin over in Boulder Bay, a home over in Boulder Bay since the 50s. And I love coming up here. And so I remember going, for those who might remember, the arcades on Pine Knot and in the village, number of restaurants that have come and gone over time, and the amount of homes that not used to be here compared to where it is now, wherever you're from. What was the third one? Jumping off of the boulders? Yeah, I used to do that all the time as a kid. Don't do it. Lake Patrol will come out and tell you don't do it. And the fourth one. I am a formal guy. Jed, what are these things on my legs? They're pants. I'm always in shorts and sandals down at our home church. And so out of respect and make sure I don't get a drubbing from Caleb and David and others, I put on pants. Even though you will notice, because my wife Patty and I have been on vacation the last 2 weeks, I'm wearing white socks and I forgot to bring white socks with me up here. And so we all have things that keep us going in life and coming and gathering in worship with you around the truth of God. God bless you. You are welcome. The truth of God is what holds us all together. And in this text that we read today, there are numerous truths that God reveals to us that the world tries to tell us differently. For example, there are Christian traditions out there that say you have to do traditions and you have to do rites and you have to do things that will make you get closer to God. And there are other traditions out there that are very much in moral standpoints and holdings, and they say, you've got to be a better person, and you've got to do things to get closer to God. But the Bible is where we come back to, and what does Jesus say? Jesus says, God does it all for you. We cling to this life vest, and we might make action or things to make sure that we are swimming in the same way that God wants us to swim. But it's God who comes to us and he says, I died for you. And in faith, we are held up by that. And through our baptism, which we celebrate, God's covenant comes and says, you are my child. No matter how old we are, you are my child. And for us, that is very comforting. That we center on Christ because it is God's comfort who holds us up. And he says, I save you. This text, I love this text. And it's probably, there are people that say it's the most well-known. I would say between Genesis 1:1, for God, in the beginning, God created everything. It's probably most well-known by our Jewish and Islam friends, but as far as in the New Testament, John 3:16 is the one that is probably most well known for people. But you got to add verse 17 to that as well, because it's all about what God does for you, where he says, it's not your traditions or rites and regulations. It's not you and your own moralism and the laws that you fulfill. He was telling that to Nicodemus. Historically, just for those who love a little history, Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin, a group of 70. It'd be like our Supreme Court nowadays. He was called in Greek an archon, which is like a ruler. He would probably be like the Speaker of the House in our Congress today, very high up. He was very wealthy. There are some that say that he was probably the third most wealthiest Jewish leader of that time. He was part of a group of Pharisees, about 6,000 Pharisees back in the day, and they all wanted to make sure that they were following the rules and regulations. And I'm sure you've probably heard all this before. And so Nicodemus comes to him at night. And historically, there are times that when you wanted to contemplate a rabbi's teaching, when you wanted to come and hear more and go and dig deeper, a person would come, especially if they wanted to switch religious teachings and follow a different rabbi, they would come late at night. Some would say even at midnight. Now that might sound strange, but how many of us are awake at times in the middle of the night as we contemplate things, as things spin around in our head with worry, as we're thinking about the next day or whatever was going on in our week prior or still to come? That happens in our lives as well, so it's not that odd. And so Nicodemus comes, and he comes to Jesus, and he's asking him questions, and this back and forth discussion goes on. It's wonderful to read and to hear, because ultimately Jesus says, he tells Nicodemus, that the Spirit flows. And we hold that the Spirit flows through faith. We affirm that through baptism and gathering together. And that brings us comfort as we come to Christ here at the baptismal, here at the foot of the cross, and as we gather together to be lifted up and saved together. God's talking with Nicodemus. And he shares an example. And he says, just as, Nicodemus, you would know, just as Moses was lifted up, just as the serpent was lifted up. Let me back up real quick. Moses, back in Numbers 21, comes down with the Torah. The people had sinned against God. God sends venomous snakes into their midst, and many of them start dying. And Moses says, God, help us. And Moses receives a serpent, a bronze serpent that is placed on a staff that is held up and walked around through the community, the gathering. And as people look at that bronze serpent, the venom is removed and they have life. Jesus says to Nicodemus, as the serpent was lifted up and the venom is removed, so too people will see the Son of Man lifted up and the venom of death and sin will be removed. That's comfort for us as well. Because so often we wonder, am I good enough for God? Am I good enough for Him? And God says, no, you're not. We just confess that. But I am. I am good enough. I am perfect enough. And I will remove the venom from you. Son of Man lifted up on a staff. Yesterday I came by the church and I noticed in your stained glass windows there is a staff here in the center of the boat. By the window that it says, Fisher of Men. And after this service, you're going to be going out to your homes, your neighborhoods, your families, the things that are going to be confronting you over the next day or days. But we're called to follow where God's breath, His ruach, His noima, His breath sends us. So there are times in stormy waters that we might cling to this staff, but we're also called to go out and to invite people into life with Christ. And I saw in the back window there, the Good Shepherd, where Christ leads His people forward as He leads you out, as fathers and moms, as grandpas and grandmas, as sons and daughters, that you are being led by the Good Shepherd. And you can see two crosses, two staffs in here, front and back, and there's also one on the entrance in the front of Shepherd in the Pines, of the staff of Christ on the cross. And that's where our eyes focus, not only on Trinity Sunday, but every Sunday, that God brings us comfort through Him being lifted up for you, centered on Christ, lifted up. But there's a challenge to that as well. All of these signs have a challenge for us to go out and share that love of Christ with those around us. In the little ways that we treat our sisters and brothers and husbands and wives, in the ways that we treat those colleagues and classmates with whom we interact, that we show that love of God to those around us. And we share the gospel with them as well. This text talks about you must be born again, born from above. Same meaning that God is the one who is doing the birthing, the borning for you. And for those of you who like to remember certain words, what does born mean? Well, as a Christian, it means believe. Believe. Believe in Christ who died for you and rose again. It also means to obey. To obey what the Bible tells us, what God shares with us. In obedience of coming to church, sharing of our tithes and offerings, serving the needs of those around us. Things that we find out in God's Word. Believe, obey, but relax. Relax. God is the one who has done the work for your salvation. Take comfort in that. Relax. And then the fourth one is the letter N. The letter N. What are the needs of those around you? To be able to share your love and God's love to those around you as well. We don't just keep our faith to us. We share it with those around us. So what does it mean to be born again? To believe, to obey, to relax, to look at the needs of those around us. That's why we come together. For comfort in Christ as He challenges us to go out. All right, I'm almost done, but I'm going to give you one final little object lesson. I guess it's a three-part sermon. Pull out this center section that has the gospel reading on it. And here's a little pastor trick that you can all take a look at, is where do we find the gospel in this? And this is great for kids to be able to circle. Verse 16. And you can do it in your own Bibles too, maybe not in the pew Bibles, but in your own Bibles. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. There's not a lot of sons. There's not millions of sons. There's one only Son. G-O, only S, Son. God, only Son. That whoever believes in Him should not perish. P for perish. You can circle that. But have E, eternal, L, life. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. God's only Son, given for you so we don't perish, but have eternal and everlasting life. That's a comfort for us as we gather around Christ, as we confess our faith with Him and to others, and as we're challenged in Christ to go out in His name. Truly, truly, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen.